I'm going to complain to you a little bit this morning in my message. I don't often do that, but I just kind of need to. I feel like that it's my prerogative. So I'm going to complain to you, not about you, just to you. So you can kind of rest. This isn't as much about you as it's kind of bigger than that. But I just want to kind of complain to you a little bit. Is that okay? Come on, be tough. My text is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. You'll understand in a minute. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18, says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.'" Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the way you love us. I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus into Bethlehem's manger. I thank you because he was born a baby. He grew up as a child, teenager, became a man, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And then took his sinless life and laid it down for me. Thank you. Thank you. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would help us this morning as we examine the truth of your word. May it be alive in us when we walk out of this house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share with you a couple of funny things about Christmas. Just a few days before Christmas, two women stood looking into a department store window at a large display of the manger scene with clay figures and the baby Jesus. Mary was there, and Joseph, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and the animals. Disgustedly, one woman said to the other, "Look at that. The church is trying to horn in on Christmas." Think about it, it'll come to you. Also, to show the splendor of the newborn Savior in the church Christmas pageant, an electric light bulb was hidden in the manger. All the stage lights were to be turned off, so only the brightness of the manger could be seen. But the boy who controlled the lights got confused, and suddenly all the lights went out. The tense moment was broken by a little shepherd's loud whisper, "Hey, you just turned off Jesus." Don't forget to keep Jesus lit during the Christmas time, okay? One more. Yeah, I find these, you can't use them all year. They only will work right now, see, so bear with me. 5-year-old Billy was showing his Christmas presents to Grandma when she asked, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" Billy thought for a moment before he answered, "No, I didn't, Grandma. But that's okay. It wasn't my birthday." I have a question for you. Kind of bring you into this little complaint of mine. Why was it that only the wise men came to find the Christ child? Why didn't they know that Jesus was coming? This has always bothered me, and I don't think that I've ever talked to a congregation about it, but you're it. Because I couldn't get it out of my mind. You know, it's amazing to me. Why didn't they know that Jesus was coming? I want to unpackage the scripture a little bit. Part in this that we just read and a few others. There was enough evidence they should have known that Jesus was coming. You see, they should have known because his birth was the fulfillment of 3,000 years of prophecy. You would think that with 3,000 years of prophecy, out of numerous individuals that God anointed, that somewhere along the line, somebody would have gotten it and would have been looking for the Christ to be born. The first mention was at the fall of man. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel." It was right then when man sinned that God responded both to the serpent who led them astray and to the woman that he was going to send a deliverer. So from the very beginning, God let it be known that he was sending a savior to the people. The second occurrence is in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. It says, "Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him." A legacy was begun in Abraham's life that would lead to the Savior. You say, "Wait, but Pastor, how could they know the place?" Well, they could know the place because Micah said in Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." You would have thought that they would have all flocked to Bethlehem waiting for the coming of the Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, they didn't know when." Oh, yeah? Glad you said that. See, if you're going to just sit there, I'll just do all the pieces. Because in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, he told them the time. "Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the anointed one, the ruler, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble." He told them when the anointed one would come. The year. Guess what? Jesus came exactly when he said. These things trouble me. They may not trouble you. You may never think about them, but you're going to think about them today because I'm talking to you about it. They should have known because his birth was the culmination of 3,000 years of prophetic ministry where God was telling them that Jesus was coming into the world. They knew the tribe of his birth. In Numbers 24:17, he says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of the son of Sheth. A savior. They should have been looking for him. You know, here's the amazing part. When the wise men came looking for Jesus, because, you know, here these wise men that came from someplace far, far away, they saw the star. They saw the illumination of the fact that the Christ child had been born, and they came to find him, but all the people living in the area missed it completely. And we talk about the innkeeper who had no room in the inn. Oh my goodness. You would have thought that that old boy would have been looking for a young lady bearing a baby. Because when the Magi asked Herod, and they were seeking the king, they came thinking that the same thing that I think, they should have known. They said, if we could see his star in the east and come all this way to find this Christ child, surely the government ruler and the people of God would know that he's come. You understand the logic? Right? I think the Magi were blown away. They said, you know, do you know where? They go, yeah, we know where. It's in Bethlehem. And they quoted, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. Yeah, whenever the King of Kings is born, he'll be born in Bethlehem, because that's what Scripture says. Don't you think they're probably going, then why don't you know where he's at? If you know the time, if you know the place, if you know the tribe, if you know what he's coming to do, he's going to be the savior of his people. The scepter of rulership will never pass from his hands. Once he becomes the king, he'll be the king forevermore. Don't you think that those people, don't you think for a moment that those people would have been searching? I think the Magi were totally blown away by the fact that nobody else knew or were expecting this Christ child. They had to come from who knows where in order to seek him out. Oh, maybe it's just me. See, I think they should have known because his birth was a sign. In Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 16, and we'll not go there and read, but just let me kind of empty it out, and if you care to study on, you can jump in there and see what I'm talking about. It says, his birth was a sign that deliverance was at hand. In other words, this wasn't just any old birth of a child. You know, if this child that was going to be born was just any old child, that would be one thing, but a deliverer for Israel was going to be born. And guess what? These were a people who were under the oppressive hand of the Roman government. They hated the Romans. Now here's the real clincher. They were looking for a deliverer. Oh my goodness. It just blows me away. They were looking for a deliverer, but they never sought the deliverer that God sent to them. They were looking for a deliverer who would have been after their nature. They didn't realize God was going to send a deliverer who would be after his nature. Isaiah proclaimed that God has a plan of redemption and deliverance. Isaiah proclaimed that the enemies of Israel are powerless against God's plan of deliverance. You would have thought that would have been pretty attractive to them. He's going to come and he's going to take authority. He's going to stand up against the Roman government. Were they looking for him? Nah, not really. Oh yeah, they knew what city. They knew when. They knew what tribe. They knew why he was coming. They even kind of wanted him to come. But they weren't looking for him. Isaiah proclaimed that they should not lose heart or be faint because of their enemies or the alliances that their enemies formed. Why? Because the deliverer was coming from God. Isaiah says in verse number 15 and 16, his birth was a sign that the enemy will be defeated. Wow. Wow. Wouldn't it be something to have a word from God that that your enemy was going to be defeated? I mean, the enemy that's oppressing you and troubling you and struggling against you constantly, and to know that God has already got a plan to send a deliverer, and the plan is already in place to defeat that enemy. How incredible would that be? And yet they missed the birth of their deliverer. You see, God had already spoken of the enemy's destruction. God had already proclaimed that when that destruction would occur, and what God promises, he performs. They should have known that. Their ancestors had to live under the cloud of the fact that God keeps his word. And yet, they should have known that Jesus was coming. You see, his birth was not just a sign of their deliverance and that the enemy would be defeated, but Isaiah tells us in verse number 14, he says, his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. In other words, he said, God is going to come down out of heaven and live among men. Now, come on. Don't you think they should have been looking for him? The God of all creation, the God of their father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God, the father of David, who had appointed him and raised him up from shepherd boy to king. The God who had sent forth prophets into their midst to warn them and to help them and to minister to them. He told them that he was coming to live in their midst. He told them where he was coming. He told them when he was coming. He told them why he was coming. And yet they weren't looking for him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Seems to be a mystery. They should have known that Jesus was coming because it wasn't a secret. It wasn't a secret. If you look at the scripture, God never tried to hide the fact that Jesus was going to be born, or that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, or that his name would be called Jesus. He put it out there for everybody. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they knew. In Luke 1:41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that which the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Boy, there it is. Blessed is she who has believed that which the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Right, there's something you ought to underline. Because blessed is the person who believes that what the Lord says will be accomplished, will be accomplished. He said he was sending Jesus, his very own son, into this world to be a deliverer for all mankind. And he came. Luke 1:78 and 79, Zechariah says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Our deliverer is coming. Angels announced. Gabriel, the great announcer of heaven, was sent forth out of heaven. In chapter 1, verse 26 of Luke, it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Luke 2:8, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. My goodness. Do you realize this announcement came to the full spectrum of humanity on the earth in that day? The shepherds were the lowliest of individuals, and the kings represented the highest plane of individuals. The announcement of Jesus' birth came from the lowliest to the greatest. Angels spread the sky and proclaim, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. You know, you would have thought, come on, that there would have been people who would have flocked to Bethlehem, because they should have been expecting him to come, church. 3,000 years of prophecy proclaimed to be a sign for them as a people that God was sending a deliverer, that their enemy would be destroyed, that God was going to be their God and be among them. You would have thought that they would have flocked in and filled Bethlehem and made a place for Mary and Joseph and this baby. They wouldn't have been shocked by the fact that she was a virgin, because the scripture said that a virgin would conceive. But he was born in obscurity. Hear me? He was born in obscurity because they just didn't pay attention to all that God had said. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. You know, church, it's amazing to me, because people are still missing Jesus. You know, he came, born in Bethlehem, grew up and died on a cross with countless individuals bringing evidence. Scores and scores and scores of lives have been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over the last 2,000 years, and yet many people want to take his name out of Christmas. All the evidence is there that Emmanuel came among men and gave his life. They should have known, because his birth was a fulfillment of 3,000 years of prophecy. They should have known because his birth was a sign that God was sending a deliverer, a savior, that God himself was going to be with man. They should have known because his birth was not a secret. And yet they missed it. My conclusion is this. The people of Israel were simply not paying attention when God spoke to them. Would you agree with me this morning that God did his part in telling them that Jesus was coming? How many would? Would you agree with me? No? Some of you think he needed to do more? Or maybe you're just dozing at this point in time. Let me see again. How many think that he gave them fair warning that the Savior was coming? Okay. Signs, announcements. You know, I'm sure that they probably were convinced that he wouldn't come in their lifetime. Because for thousands of years, people had been talking about, oh yeah, he's going to be born. Christ child, the Messiah, he's going to be born. Oh, he's going to be born. Oh, it's going to be great. He's going to be the deliverer of the people. Won't it be fantastic? And they heard all that. It rang in their ears. They grew up with it. And yet, not in my lifetime. Oh, I know what the scripture says, but not in my lifetime. Everybody's been talking about that forever. I leave you this morning with two verses of scripture. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, after this, Jesus said, as he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They looked intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood with them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. Jesus said in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36, no one knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Father, thank you for the warning. Thank you for caring so much about us that you would let us know that there is another coming of Jesus. We can learn from Israel, they missed the arrival of the Christ child. They missed their opportunity to hold in their hands the Blessed One of God, Emmanuel. They could have come and gazed with their eyes upon your very person. They could have reached out their hand and touched the Son of the living God, but they missed the day. I pray for us. Because for 2,000 years, your word has been preached over and 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 over again. Prophets, preachers have proclaimed the coming of Jesus. Not because it is any of our idea, but because you told us as watchmen to let the people know so they'll be ready. Help us, O Lord, in all the busyness of our lives, in all the stuff that we've got going on this week, help us to realize the same Bible, the same word that told us that Jesus was coming to Bethlehem is the same word that says he's coming again. And even as those people should have been looking in Bethlehem for a Savior, help us, O Lord, to keep watch of the eastern sky, because you said our Savior is coming back to receive us unto himself, so that where he is, we could be also. Help us, O God, if there are things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Help us to refocus. Help us this Christmas season, while we have this reminder before us that Jesus did come to Bethlehem. You kept your word. And only a few wise men, only a few wise men were smart enough to follow the star. I pray that there would be wise men and women who would see the stars today as the things that you warned us about take place before our very eyes. May we realize that the time is short. The day could be upon us. No, you're not coming back to Bethlehem's manger. You're coming back as a glorious victor. You're not coming back as a child to be raised as a man again. You're coming back as a glorious Savior who will defeat the enemy of our souls. But you're not coming back to die on a cross again. You're coming back to sit on a throne and judge the lives of men and women. I want to be ready. I pray, God, that you would awaken all who hear this message. Awaken us to see the day that we're living. And as the world tries to absorb the church and choke it out, that we would rise up and proclaim our Jesus is coming back. May we be the wise men and women. May we be the wise ones that are proclaiming the coming of our Savior. May we be the wise ones that are looking for his coming. Help us, Lord, even this morning, to make eternal decisions in keeping with what you've told us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for telling us.